dishes that need to be washed. But anyway, we're in Acts chapter 9. Look forward to getting through this particular text because it's got some really good stuff for us. And this is kind of the wrong place to talk about taking a time out because a lot of our young people are going to school, and even some of our college-age people are going to school, and it's anything but time out. And if you, some of you older ones are like me, we used to get out in the summertime, and it was so much fun to look forward to summertime when it finally came and just enjoy stuff like crazy. And then by the 1st of August, though, I was kind of ready to get back to school, you know, because it was nice to be around other people and be able to learn things and that sort of thing like that. But, you know, we still need to take some time out, and that's the point I want to talk about in Acts chapter 9. Instead of approaching it from the standpoint of watching the gospel as it spread and grew, which is definitely what happens in really every paragraph pretty much in the book of Acts, or at least every page and every chapter, and it happens where we are. We're going to look at Acts chapter 9, and we're going to start in verse 30 and deal with some things all the way down through verse 40 through. It's not so much, though. Now, we're going to read through and make some little thoughts in there, but I have four reasons why we ought to take time out that I see in this. And the first one would be it's time to take a time out during really challenging times that you've just been through. If you look at verse 30, 28, I'm sorry. I have it in my notes as 30, but it should be 28. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. And he talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. And now verse 30, when the believers learned this, they took him down to Caesarea and they sent him off to Tarsus. I think it was important to read those verses before to realize the Apostle Paul, we just learned last week, was converted when Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and he was baptized, verse 18 of chapter 9. But when he got back to Jerusalem, or got to Jerusalem, they had trouble accepting him, and there was all kinds of turmoil going on with the Apostle Paul, or at that time he was just simply Saul, and he was just converted to Christ. And you have some of the Jewish people, now that he's converted to Christ, who wanted to kill him. Talk about a rough time. And so the church decided to send him home. That's where he went. He went to a little place called Tarsus. And if you were to look on your map, it's in Asia Minor, which is now Turkey. And it's where he grew up, where he lived. And he went back there. We won't see the Apostle Paul now for several verses, actually a chapter and a half. We get over to chapter 11 and verse 25, where we have Barnabas going to Tarsus to look for Paul, or Saul still. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers. So some time passes. But from the time he was sent to Tarsus to 11:25, when he's found again, when Peter goes to look for him, he goes to Tarsus, is 10 years. So that might help you also appreciate the book of Acts, that it's not chronological like day after day, month after month. There's some gaps in it because the purpose isn't to show you every little detail, but specific things that stood out and that would teach us and help us as we see the gospel explode really and spread throughout the world. And so the apostle, or Saul, sorry if I keep calling him apostle, it's just, you know, that's what he becomes, but he stayed there after his conversion, but he was sent home because of all the difficulties. And that's why I say it's sometimes a good time for a time out after you've gone through some challenging times in your life. Haven't you found that to be true sometimes when things have been really rough and you just worked and you just feel all ragged, that it's a good idea just to, you know, just to cool it a while, take some time off and relax a little bit for a while. You know, Jesus did that with his disciples in Mark chapter 6, and Matthew, Luke, and John also tell this particular story and kind of expand on it a little bit. Mark's pretty short, but the disciples had been working with Jesus pretty much day and night for a long time. People kept coming, people kept coming, people kept coming. They didn't even get a chance to eat, much less take a break. And so when that happened, Jesus saw that and he said to them, "Come with me to a quiet place and get some rest." Now that's from Jesus. If you're looking for an order from the Word of God, there are times when God would say to you, "Hey, get some rest. You know, cool it. Time out for a while," especially after you've had difficult things in your life going on. So don't feel guilty about it when sometimes you need to take some time off. Most of us probably don't actually feel guilty about it, but when you do, realize that it's a good thing that you're doing. And realize even God rested, right? 6 days he was busy creating the universe and animals and people and Adam and Eve, of course. And finally, we're told on the seventh day he rested. And so that's why we have the Sabbath for the Old Testament. And the Bible promises in the future that heaven is actually going to be the actual Sabbath. We will all have a final rest when we leave this earth and we go to be with the Lord. But in the meantime, there are times when you can take some rest today. Jeremiah 6:16, if you like taking notes, that might be a good one to write down. Expand on reading around it and see more things there. Jeremiah 6:16 says, "Stand and look for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is, and you will find rest for your souls." Does that not sound like Jesus when he said that? Jesus will not cause us to be, or when we are weary, will give us rest for our souls, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. God doesn't mean to burden us down with so much that it just breaks us. He sometimes says you need to come apart to a quiet place. You need to come apart with me. Somebody said before, I'm not the one that came up with this idea, or you'll come apart. And so sometimes it's a good idea to come apart, to rest, so that you don't come apart. So after challenging times, and it could be all kinds of things in your life. It could be your work. It could be tough things happening in your life. Paul just went through all of this where the Jews were after him. And when he got to Jerusalem, even the Christians did not want to accept him. And of course, Barnabas is the one that took up for him. And when he was finally accepted, he went out and actually started preaching. He began to falling into difficulties. They even tried to kill him. That's pretty difficult. And so when they learned all of this, they sent him away to give him some time off. Now, I don't know that Paul took time off. I mean, fully. When he's in Tarsus, he's home. Probably went to the synagogue, probably talked to his family and friends about the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah that the Jews have been looking for. He probably made a lot of converts. Unfortunately, Luke, here in writing the book of Acts, didn't tell us. And of course, the Holy Spirit saw fit that we're not told. There's another verse that I did actually leave out of your notes. You could put it in up there if you would. It's still in this first point. And that is verse 31, "Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, and it increased in numbers." Now, as I went through this text, I was looking for, you know, a way, something that kind of ties everything together. And I do believe that through Luke, of course, the Holy Spirit subtly is talking about sometimes the need for this little peace and quiet that we need in our lives. First, again, Paul getting off. But notice then, verse 31, again, the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. That's as far now as the gospel has reached. As to all of those churches, they enjoyed a time of peace. It's been turmoil up to that point. Persecution caused a lot of disciples to leave Jerusalem and scatter. And as they scattered, the proclaim the gospel, and of course, little churches began to pop up as they went out. But there was always difficulty going on. But verse 31 says they enjoyed a time of peace. Could be a little dot, 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 because it doesn't explain how long. It's just been a time. But they were strengthened by that peace. Notice that. They enjoyed a time of peace, and they were strengthened. And they also lived in fear of the Lord. They had time to just really get into their closeness to God and to grow in the Spirit. And that's what that fear of the Lord is. It's not literally fear, although there are times when we need to fear the Lord, but it's that awe kind of thing. It's that feeling close to God in a special kind of way. And of course, then they were encouraged by the Holy Spirit during this time of peace. And guess what? They increased in numbers. And so even though they had a time of peace, instead of all the action and the turmoil going on, they nevertheless grew as a church. And so there's that pause, if you will, in the church that Luke wants to tell us about, where the church enjoyed this time of peace. Now here's the second thought. The first is, after challenging times, we ought to take the time out after challenging times, but also after spending time with God's people. Notice in verse 32 that Peter traveled about the country, and he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydia. Now, there'll be some more we'll look at in our next thought, but I just want to pause long enough to look at this one, that Peter is traveling about in the country. Here's where Peter, by the way, comes back in to Luke's writing, to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. Lydda and Joppa and the little area around it, actually about a 50-mile swath of the coastland of Israel, was almost like a paradise. There were flowers everywhere during the right season. There were oak trees before they cut them all down. And it was just kind of a beautiful ocean side, kind of like the side, the coast of Oregon or of California or some other place, Florida or something. Just a beautiful, beautiful place. Now, Peter, don't tell me you went just to visit the churches. You know, you went to be in this wonderful place. And to me, I know that's probably not exactly true, but subtly it might be that Peter traveled through the country and to the place called Lydda. Look down at verse 35 for a minute, just to jump ahead. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Now, we'll get to that in just a second. That's our next point. But I want you to notice these places, Lydda, Joppa, and now Sharon. You know, we have a song in our songbook, Jesus, Rose of Sharon. And we also have Sharon mentioned in the book of Song of Solomon, Song of Songs, sometimes it's called. Sharon, you know, was a flower, and the Rose of Sharon means the area of Sharon. This is what the name of that whole region was. And Peter gets to go there, and he's visiting all these churches, which is an important, good thing to do. So he's work while he's kind of relaxing, you know, I'm guessing. So it's all right as God's people to rest, and even in the middle of things that we're doing that are important. But I read this from J.S. Dwight, which I kind of agree with, but I kind of don't. He said, rest is not quitting the busy career. Rest is the fitting of self to its sphere. 'Tis loving and serving to the highest best. 'Tis onward unswerving, and that is the true test. And I'm thinking maybe he's right in the sense that surely rest is not quitting the busy career and, you know, on and on, fitting of the soul to the spheres and serving and loving and that sort of thing like that. But not fully. I disagree in a sense that, again, remember Jesus, there are times when you have to rest. And he called his disciples aside after they're in the middle of things. And it's not that you have to just keep on. It, you know, he's only partly right. And another one said this. He said, there is no rest for the wicked, and the righteous don't need it. And I thought, that's not true. The righteous do need it. There are times when we need to take a break. And this is a good time. And Peter, I think, was, in a sense, guys, I think he was taking a bit of a break. I mean, he went to a choice place. And it's kind of like go visiting the churches in Yosemite, you know. You're around all this beautiful area, and yet you're visiting with the Lord's people in Lydda. Anyway, we'll go to that thought, and that is Peter traveling to, you know, to the church there. Oh, let me just add this, that visiting the church can be awfully good too, you know. Whenever we travel, we always love going to churches just to see, you know, how it is, and also to see God's people. Have you ever noticed when you're at churches where you're around God's people that they're just like us, you know? They're people, you know, that are children of God. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's almost a privilege to visit with other churches and to see things. And so you guys know what I'm talking about, right? You've been there. You know, it's good to go to churches and see things. We've got some visitors. Good to have you guys. The encouragement that you can get from coming and visiting with other people. And I think Peter found that as well. He's visiting with all these godly people. But our fellowship also in our worship is important. And it's more sometimes than just a little 5-minute hello or 10-minute hello that we have on each side of our services. It's the sometimes sticking around, you know, and visiting with each other, which I'm just impressed with a lot of you folks that on whenever we dismiss service, we always keep joking and keep saying, you know, Elvis has left the building, you know, over and over again, because we want to turn the lights out and lock the doors so we could go home. But you folks are visiting with each other so long, and that's a great thing. It is super when the church has that love for one another that we spend the time, and somebody has to say, Elvis has left the building. You know, it's time to turn the lights out. Philippians 2, 1 and 2. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and mind. And he says a little further in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, Peter says, we are participants, each of us are participants in the divine nature. And so it's just really a good thing when we come together like we're doing this morning and get to see each other and to fellowship with one another. That's a good thing. Here's number three. And that is simply to help others. Now, this is the longest one, but we're just going to kind of read through and just touch on some things. We have two people who are healed here. And, one is actually raised from the dead. And that healing then attracts attention of others and causes them to turn to God because they realize that God must be with these people. And so what they're teaching must be true. And that's really what Acts develops a lot throughout, is how people see the works of God. They see the signs and the miracles, and from those things, they put their faith in God. And so we see that happening here. Verse 33, and let me just read through it. There he found a man named Aeneas who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. So guy's probably an injury or something, not born with it. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Notice that emphasis. It's Jesus who heals you. Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat. Sounds like the man that Jesus healed, that his friends lowered him. Remember that? Through the roof. And he told him to pick up his mat and walk, you know. And here's Peter saying something very similar. Get up and roll up your mat. So immediately Aeneas got up, and all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. And so there we have that pattern that we're going to find a lot in the book of Acts. Now in Joppa, which is only about 4 or 5 miles away, if you were on a bicycle, you'd be there in 5 minutes. If you were walking, maybe a little further. But in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. And her Greek name is Dorcas, which means a gazelle. And she was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died. Her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." So Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. And all the widows were standing around crying and showing him their robes, the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with him. So Peter sent them all out of the room, that is the one showing the robes, and he got down on his knees and he prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Time out just long enough to say, Peter has done two things with Aeneas. He repeated the same things, similar to what Jesus does. What he does here is the same way. You remember the widow of Nain who had lost a son? Jesus said the same thing to the son. He took the son and he said, basically, get up. And she got up. He took her by the hand, helped her up, and then he called to the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. And this became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. So there's that pattern once again. But even then, the idea of rest there is maybe not in the pages, but they're in the thought that as they're being involved in doing good things, surely there's some kind of reward for that. It's good for us. It's good for the church when we do these kinds of things, and it's good for the kingdom when we help other people. Helping others is a way of refreshing you. If you ever feel depressed, or if you ever feel kind of like you don't have anything to do and you kind of feel lost, the good suggestion is go out and help someone. If you're feeling sorry for yourself, go out and help someone. Whenever you go out and help someone, it actually just feels good. I don't mean it feels good in the sense you feel proud, but it feels good in the sense you feel like you've done something that's worthwhile. And I think Peter must have felt that. Of course, as an apostle, he was doing the right thing anyway, just to heal people and call attention to the gospel through that. But that's not the only thing. He was helping people, and I'm sure it was good for him. It's good for the ones that he healed, and of course for the one that he raised from the dead and those that were weeping for her. And it's just a good thing to help other people, and that's a sense of rest, or at least some kind of peace that you feel. And here's the last one, number four, and that is just to enjoy life. That's only one verse. 43, Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simeon, or Simon. Where do you get rest out of that, Ron? Well, once again, he's in the plains of Sharon. He's on the coast. And Joppa was. It was a port town. It's a major port town. And so he was right by the water. Well, what was Peter doing when Jesus found him first time? Starts with an F and ends with ishing. He was fishing. He was fishing. He was a fisherman. And so here he is staying with a tanner named Simon. So what's he doing there? He's taking a break. He's probably fishing. I'll bet you. I mean, Simon Peter needed rest too. And after all that he's done, he's taking a little time off. That's kind of what that verse is saying. For some time. Notice that? One translation says for many days. You know, he took time off. And so sometimes it's a good idea just to take some time off to enjoy life. Take a vacation. You know, even if you're retired. Because when you're retired, people say, and I haven't experienced it yet, that you work more than you worked when you worked. And that retirement can really keep you busy. Well, sometimes you maybe need to take a break from retirement and just go somewhere. Get away from your house. Get away from all the things that are going on every day. And just go out and enjoy life. I think Simon did that. And I think reading kind of between the lines. It starts out with Paul being sent away. for 10 years before we see him again. Probably had to learn, touched a few people in his process, but kind of get away from such a big drastic change in his life that now become an apostle. We come at the end of it of Peter and all that Peter has done in visiting churches and healing sick and raising the dead. Little time off doesn't hurt. It's all about rest, folks. It's all about rest in this text. And I think the ties that we made here in chapter 9, I think were surely meant to be. Let's close with a word of prayer. And if you have a need, we're going to invite you to come here in just a second. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you, Father, that you set the example for resting and that your son took up the same example in having his disciples step aside to rest for a while. We see, Father, in this text, the peace of the church and the rest that they had from all the persecution. We see Peter as he visits other churches in a beautiful place. It was probably very enjoyable for him to see the people, but also in the place where he was, Lord, that you blessed us in this world with so much beauty, so many ways to rest and to even sometimes while we work and served you, to enjoy what we see around us and to enjoy one another. Bless us, Father, this day as we go home to our places and we get up in the morning and go out and do some work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.